Field Ches Amid Beis, 13 lines from the bottom, Tanu Rabbana. In the Mishnah, we learned the halachas concerning Shchut Echut and at what periods there was a heter to build a bama, to build bamas outside of the central bama. And the Mishnah mentioned different periods when the Mikdash was standing, when the Mishkan was standing in different places. It mentioned the period of time when the Mishkan was in the Midbar, and then it's followed by when the Mishkan was standing in Gilgal, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, when they crossed the yard, and the Mishkan was in Gilgal. That was followed by the Mishkan Shiloh, and then followed by the Mishkan when it was in Noiv, and then in Givon, and then finally when they came to Yerushalayim, and the Beit HaMikdash was built. This Braisa and the Gemara tell us how long the Mishkan stood in each of these places. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Yemei Oyel Moed Shevin Midbar, the days that the Oyel Moed was in the Midbar of the Mishkan being in the Midbar, Arboim Shana Chasar Achas, was 40 years minus 1, a total of 39 years. Yemei Oyel Moed Shevin Gilgal, Arbaasre, the days that the Oyel Moed then stood in Gilgal, when they crossed the Yarden and entered Eretz Yisrael, was a total of 14 years. Zion Shekovshu, Zion Shechilku, 7 years that they were engaged in conquering Eretz Yisrael, and 7 years that they were engaged in dividing up Eretz Yisrael. Yemei Oyel Moed Shebenoiv VeGibon Chamisha VeSheva, the days of the Oyel Moed standing in Noiv and Givon. These were two places. First it was in Noiv, and then it was in Givon. But the Braisa gives us as a total. These are both counted together. It was a total of 57 years. Nishtairu LeShiloi, there remained for Shiloi, which was in between Gilgal and Noiv VeGivon. We shouldn't make a mistake in the Braisa. The period of Shiloi was before Noiv and Givon. But our computation is based on knowing how long it stood in those places, how long it stood in Gilgal, and how long it stood in Noiv V'Givon, then whatever remains from the period that Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael from the time that they entered until they built the first Beis HaMikdash is Nishtairu remains for Shiloi Gimel Meis V'Shivim Chosar Achas. It remains 369 years. Now this is because we know that it says in the Pasuk in Melachim that Shlomi HaMelech finished building the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash of course, 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. We know that Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael 40 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael 440 years until the building of the Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech. So if we take off from that period of time, from the 440 years, if we subtract the 14 years that the Oyel Moed was in Gilgal and the 57 years that it was in Noiv V'Givon, then we subtract 71 from 440, and we remain with 369 years. So from that we're able to know that the period that the Mishkan was standing in Shiloh was a period of 369 years. So it was 14 years in Gilgal, followed by 369 years in Shiloh, then followed by 57 years in Noiv V'Givon, and then finally in Yerushalayim where the Beis HaMikdash was built. And the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash stood, we will find this significant later on in the computations that our Gemara makes, the first Beis HaMikdash stood for a total of 410 years. Now the Gemara explains the Braisa. Yemei Oyel Moed Shebi Midbar Arboim Chosar Achas Minolan. How do we know? What is the source that the Oyel Moed was in the Midbar for 39 years? To Omar Mar, because we have learned, Shana Rishayna Osa Moshe Esa Mishkan, that in the first year, Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan. Shnia Hukam HaMishkan. It was in the second year that the Mishkan was actually set up. So it was actually set up from the second year. We know that they were in the Midbar for a total of 40 years. If it was set up in the second year, so we know that it stood for 39 years. And the Gemara adds, V'sholach Moshe Miraglim. It was also in that second year that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Miraglim. This doesn't relate exactly to this, but this will be an important point further on. Continues the Gemara, Sheba Gilgal Arba'esre, that it stood in Gilgal 14 years, Sheva Shekovshu V'Sheva Shecholku Minolan, the 7 years that they were conquering Eretz Yisrael and the 7 years that were dividing Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that? Says the Gemara, to call Omar Kolev, because Kolev said at the time when they finished conquering Eretz Yisrael and they began dividing Eretz Yisrael, Kolev came and he said, Ben Arboim Shona Onoichi B'Shloach Moshe Eved Hashem Oisi Mikodesh Barnei El Ragel Esa'oret. That Kolev said that I was 40 years old when Moshe, the Eved of Hashem, sent me from Kodesh Barnea to spy out Eretz Yisrael, when he went with the Meraglim, V'oshiv oisei dover kasherim levavi, and I reported back to him the matter as it was with my heart, that I came back with a good report, as opposed to the other Meraglim, except for Yeshua, of course, that I came back, says Kolev, with a good report to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now he was claiming that which was promised to him when he will enter Eretz Yisrael. So we know that he was 40 years old at the time that he was sent as one of the Meraglim. As we just learned before, we learned that the Meraglim were sent in the second year after leaving Mitzrayim. Uchsiv, and it says in the Pasuk, Ve'ata, and now, Hinei Anoichi Hayom Ben Chomish Ushmoinim Shona, that I am now 85 years old, but now when we have finally conquered Eretz Yisrael, I am now 85 years old, and this was the time when the conquering of Eretz Yisrael was finished, and they were beginning the division of Eretz Yisrael. So from this we learn, Ki Avri Liardein Bar Kamahavi, how old was Kalev when they crossed the Yardein? If we say that he was 40 in the second year after leaving Eretz Yisrael, then how old was he in the 40th year after they left Eretz Yisrael? Bar Shiva Vitamni, then he was 78 years old. Because this was 38 years later, this was the 40th year after they left Mitzrayim. In the second year after leaving Mitzrayim, he was 40. So in the 40th year after leaving Mitzrayim, he was 78. And he is saying that now, when they finish conquering Eretz Yisrael, he told them that he is 85 years old. So we see that they conquered, that the conquering of Eretz Yisrael took 7 years. And how do we know that it was an additional 7 years that they were dividing up Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim? If you wish, we can say that since it took 7 years to conquer it, that it's likely that since we don't know any other amount, that it took the same amount of time to divide it. And if you wish, we can say because in any other way, if we don't say that it took 7 years to divide up Eretz Yisrael, and that was a total period of 14 years when Eretz Yisrael was being conquered and divided, then we won't be able to work out in any way the Pasuk in Yecheskel that says that he received a certain nevuah, a nevuah about seeing the Beit HaMikdash rebuilt in the 14th year after the city of Yerushalayim had been smitten, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Now Rashi explains at length what this is talking about and how we prove from this Pasuk that in fact the period of Gilgal, that the period before they came to Shiloh, the period when the Eretz Yisrael was conquered and divided, was in fact 14 years. Now the Raya is as follows. There in the Pasuk, in the Nevuah of Yecheskel, Yecheskel says that he had the Nevuah B'Rosh Hashanah B'Esra L'Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year on Rosh Hashanah, on the 10th day of the month, and it was the 14th year after Yerushalayim had been destroyed. And Chazal explained, Rashi brings the Gemara in Erechin, and Rashi on the Navi in Yecheskel, the other Mephoshim bring this as well. What does the Pasuk mean by saying that it was on Rosh Hashanah, on the 10th day of the month? Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month, not the 10th day of the month. Says the Gemara, that this is because it was Yovel. Which year is it that the 10th day of the month, that Yom Kippur, is called Rosh Hashanah, that it's a Rosh Hashanah? That's the year of Yovel. Because in the year of Yovel, they blow shofar on Yom Kippur, and all of the slaves go free, and the land goes back to its original owners. So that's when actually the Yovel year comes into effect. So that's considered to be the beginning of the year as a Yovel year. That's why Yecheskel refers to it as Rosh Hashanah Ba'asa L'Chodesh. It's the beginning of the year, because it's the beginning of the Yovel, which is on the 10th day of the month, which is on Yom Kippur. So we know for certain that we are talking about a Yovel year, that year that Yecheskel is reporting is the Yovel year. And Yecheskel is saying that it's 14 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So from this we know that 14 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was Yovel, that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash conversely took place 14 years before Yovel. Now, if we add up the entire period that Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael until the destruction, until the exile with the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, it's a period of 850 years. As we mentioned before, the Pasuk in Melachim says that Shlomi HaMelech finished building the first Beis HaMikdash 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, that means 440 years after entering Eretz Yisrael. As we also mentioned before, we know that the Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. So that means that if it was 440 years until the Beis HaMikdash was built, and it stood for 410 years, that it was a total of 850 years from the time that Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. If it's 850 years, that should add up to an exact amount of 17 yovelis. 17 times 50 is 850. So how is it that this Pasuk in Yechezkel says that it was Yovel 14 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? If it was 850 years from the time that they entered Eretz Yisrael until the Churban, that's divisible by 50, and it should be exactly 17 Yovelis, and the year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash should be Yovel. So how is it that it's only 14 years later? The answer is that they only began counting Yovel after the period of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. That is considered to be the time that they actually settled in Eretz Yisrael. There are certain mitzvahs that only began to be noyeg at that time. They weren't noyeg during the period of time when they were conquering and dividing up Eretz Yisrael, only after they actually settled in Eretz Yisrael. And they only began counting Yovel from that time. They didn't begin counting the Yovelis from when they first entered Eretz Yisrael. Rather, they began counting the Yovelis from the time that they finished conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. Now, if we know that it was exactly 850 years from the time that they entered Eretz Yisrael until the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, and yet we know that Yovel came out only 14 years later, then it must be that they began counting Yovel 14 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael. And that makes up for those 14 years. They didn't begin counting Yovel when they entered Eretz Yisrael, in which case, then the year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash would have been Yovel. Rather, they began counting Yovel 14 years later. They began counting the Cheshbon leading up to Yovel 14 years later. And that's why that the Yovel year came 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So from this we can learn that the period of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael was a period of 14 years. We proved from the Pasuk before that the period of conquering Eretz Yisrael was 7 years, and from this we're able to learn then that the period of dividing Eretz Yisrael was also 17 years, a total of 14. And that is the time that the Ohel Moed was standing in Gilgal before they actually erected the Beis Hashem in Shiloh. Continues the Gemara, Ohel Moed shebenoiv v'givoin chamisha v'sheva minoli. The Braisa told us that the Ohel Moed stood in Noiv and Givoin for a total of 57 years. Minoli. How do we know this? Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi kahaz kiroi es aroinu elukim v'goymer. The Pasuk says that when he mentioned, when the person who was bearing the tidings, the ill tidings about the war, mentioned the Oron of Hashem, the Oron HaKodesh, that it had been captured by the Plishtim, it says there in the Pasuk that at that time, Eli HaKoyen fell off his chair and he was Nifter. V'tona, and we learn this in a Braisa as well, Kishemeis Eli HaKoyen, that when Eli HaKoyen was Nifter, Chorva Shiloi, that's when the Mishkan Shiloi was destroyed, Ubo Lenoiv, and that's when they erected a Mishkan in Noiv. Kishemeis Shmuel HaRamasi, when Shmuel HaNovi was Nifter, Chorva Noiv, that's when Noiv was destroyed, through Shaul, as Rashi brings, Ubo LeGivon. And then they came and they constructed a Mishkan in Givon. This is, of course, learned from the Psukim, where we are told that David HaMelech, when he was running away from Shaul, that he went to the Beis Hashem, which was in Noiv, and later on we're told that Shlomi HaMelech was Makriv Korbanis in the Beis Hashem that was Givon. So we know that the Beis Hashem was in Noiv and then in Givon, and this Braisa tells us that that happened when Shiloh was destroyed, that's when they came to Noiv, and then when Shmuel HaRamasi was Nifter, that's when Noiv was destroyed and they came to Givon. And this Mishkan remained in Givon until the building, that was the place for the Mishkan, and that was the place for the Bomas Tzibor, until the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim by Shlomo HaMelech. However, as we will see, the Oron HaKodesh was not there in Noiv V'Givon, because the Oron HaKodesh had been captured by the Plishtim, and it was kept other places, and only later was brought to Yerushalayim. So Noiv V'Givon was the Mishkan, and that was the Bomas Tzibor, but there was no Oron HaKodesh in Noiv V'Givon. But I'll call upon him. That is where the Mishkan stood for this period of time from the destruction of Shiloh until the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara is going to prove that this was a period of 57 years. We'll see, and it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi miyoyim sheves ha'orim b'kiryas yorim, that it was from the day that the Orim was dwelling in Kiryas Yorim. Now we know that the Orim was captured by the Plishtim, and that Hashem smote the Plishtim, and that they sent the Orim away, and the Orim was in Kiryas Yorim. This took place 4 months after it was captured by the Plishtim with the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. This happened in the same year, and it was then in Kiryas Yorim. Vayirbu hayomim vayihu esrim shona. And it says in the Pasuk that the days became very lengthy, and it added up to 20 years that it was in Kiryas Yorim. Vayinhu kol beis Yisrael achrei Hashem. And all of the Beis Yisrael were drawn after Hashem during those years. That they followed Hashem during those years. They did tshuva because of the toichacha, the musa that was given to them by Shmuel HaRamasi after the destruction of Shiloh. But Al Kapanim, the Pasuk says that it was in Kiryas Yorim for 20 years. Says the Gemara, Hani Esrim Shana, what were these 20 years? What were these 20 years consisting of? Esr Shana Shemolach Shmuel Ba'asmo, those are the 10 years that Shmuel reigned, so to speak, by himself, before he was asked by the people to appoint a melech. He was a shofet of Yisrael, so he was considered to be like the ruler of Yisrael. So those are the 10 years. Vishana Shemolach Shmuel Vishol, and then 1 year where, so to speak, Shmuel and Shoel reigned jointly. In other words, when Shaul had already been appointed as the Melech, but he was reigning and was following the advice of Shmuel until the Muhammad with Amalek. So that's considered to be a period of time when they were joined together in reigning over the people because Shaul was Melech and he did everything al pi Shmuel. Ushtayim Shemolach Shaul, and that was followed by 2 years that Shaul was Melech by himself when he was no longer in contact with Shmuel HaNavi, because Shmuel HaNavi didn't see him anymore after the Muhammad with Amalek. As Rashi mentions, he was Mispala for him from afar, from Ramah, but he did not see him anymore. So that's the 2 years that Shaul was reigning by himself. So this is so far 13 years. V'sheva de David, or as the Gerus of the Shittim Kubetzes is, V'sheva shamolach David b'chevron, the 7 years when David HaMelech already became Melech, but he was Melech in Chevron. He hadn't yet come to Yerushalayim. So that is a total of 20 years. That's the period that the Aron HaKodesh was in Kiryas Yeorim. After that period, after the 7 years that David HaMelech reigned in Chevron, when he came to Yerushalayim, he then brought the Aron HaKodesh to Ir David, which is by Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, the Kufya says, as it says in the Pasuk, V'hayomim asher molach David al Yisrael, that the days which David reigned over Yisrael, Mem Shana, was a total of 40 years, B'chevron molach Zayin Shanim, and Chevron he ruled for 7 years, and the Pasuk continues, is brought by the Shittim Kubetzes, U'v'Yerushalayim molach Lamed Gimel Shanim, and in Yerushalayim he reigned for 33 years. So we learn then that there were 20 years until David HaMelech went to Yerushalayim, and then the Aron HaKodesh was brought to Ir David, and David HaMelech then reigned for 33 years in Yerushalayim. So we have so far 20 and 33, that's 53 years, and throughout this entire period, the Mishkan was in Noi V'Givon, because it remained there until the building of the Beis HaMikdash by Shloimeh HaMelech, U'B'Shloimeh K'siv, and then concerning Shloimeh, it says, V'yokol of Noi Sebishnas Arba L'Mechusa, that he began building Beis HaMikdash in the fourth year of his reign. So after those 53 years, it was an additional 4 years, the first 4 years of the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, till he built the Beis HaMikdash, and throughout that entire period of time, the Mishkan was in Noiv V'Givon, until the Beis HaMikdash was built. So now we know that the period of Noiv V'Givon was 57 years, we know that the period of Gilgal was 14 years, and if we also know that the period from the time that they entered Eretz Yisrael until the first Beis HaMikdash was built was 440 years, because the time from Yetzias Mitzrayim until the Beis HaMikdash was built, we are told in the Pasuk, was 480 years, then we know that Nishtairu L'Shiloi Shloish Meis V'Shishim Chotzer Achas, that there remains for the period of Shiloi, which was between Gilgal and Noiv V'Givon, a total of 369 years, because if we subtract the 57 years of Noiv V'Givon and the 14 years of Gilgal, that's 71 years, from 440 years, we remain with 369 years. So that was a period when it was in Shiloh. So we have the 14 years of Gilgal, 369 years in Shiloh, 57 years in Noiv V'Givon, and that is when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, which stood for 410 years. Continues the Gemara, Bo l'Noiv V'Givon v'chuli. In the Mishnah we learn that when they came to Noiv V'Givon after the destruction of Shiloh, hutru habomis, that it became permitted once again to be makriv on bomis, outside of the Mishkan that was to be found in Noiv V'Givon. So although this had been forbidden in the period that the Mishkan was standing in Shiloh, it became mutter once again in the period of Noiv V'Givon. Says the Gemara, Mino hanimili. How do we know this? How do we know that when Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, that it became permitted to be makriv on bomis? The Tana Rabbanan, because we learned it in Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, Kiloi bosem ad ato el hamnucho vel hanachla. The Pasuk is speaking about the period when they will cross the Yarden and reach Gilgal. And it says that at that time you will be permitted to be makriv on bomis. That's the way we've had that. The Gemara learns that Pasuk. And it says that because you, at that period you will not yet have come, Kiloi bosem ad ato, to the menucha nor to the nachla, and therefore you're allowed to be makriv on bomis. Says the Braisa, El HaMenucha Zu Shiloh. To the Menucha, that's referring to Shiloh, that's referred to as Menucha, Nachlo Zu Yerushalayim, and Nachlo is referring to Yerushalayim. The Pasuk is saying that you can be Makriv on Bomis at that time, when you will cross into Eretz Yisrael for the first period, because at that time you will not yet have come to Shiloh nor to Yerushalayim. Lama Silkon HaKosu, why does the Pasuk divide it into two? Why doesn't it just say, Kiloi Bosam Arato El HaMenucha, you've not yet come to Shiloh? In order to give us a heter for bomis between one and the other, between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Because if we say that from the period of Shiloh that bomis become usher and they remain usher, then the Pasuk would just say that you've not yet come to Shiloh, and therefore the bomis are still permitted. Rather, it says you've not yet come to Shiloh, where the bomis will be forbidden, and you've not yet come to Yerushalayim, where the bomis will be forbidden once more. But in between Shiloh and Yerushalayim, there is a heter for bomis, just as there was at the period preceding the building of Shiloh. If we say that Bomis became mutter after the destruction of Shiloh, so Shiloh after its destruction is no longer considered to be the Mokom HaShabocha by Hashem, the place which Hashem has chosen, then Maaseh Sheni Nami Lisni. Let us learn in the Mishnah also that Maaseh Sheni in the period of Noiv V'Givon should be brought to Noiv V'Givon, just as in the time of Mishkan Shiloh, Maaseh Sheni has to be brought to Shiloh, and there it can be eaten Mechol Harayah and any place from which one can see Mishkan Shiloh. At the time of Yerushalayim, it has to be brought to Yerushalayim. That in the time of Noiv V'Givon it should also be brought to Noiv v'givayin. Now, according to Rashi, the girsa in our Mishnah is that in the period of noiv v'givayin, kochim kalim and ma'aser sheni were eaten b'chol ora Yisrael, were eaten throughout the cities of Eretz Yisrael. So it says explicitly in the Mishnah that ma'aser sheni was eaten b'chol ora Yisrael throughout Eretz Yisrael. That's the girsa of Rashi in the Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah is printed on the right side of the Gemara in the Mishnah. We don't actually have it in the Mishnah itself, but according to Rashi, the girsa in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah says explicitly that ma'aser sheni was eaten b'chol ora Yisrael. And the question that Rish Lakish is asking is, why is it eaten b'chol ora Yisrael? It should have to be brought to noiv v'givan. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan told him, Maiser shom shom me'oren kayalfi, that Maiser is learned with a gzereshava of shom shom from the oren. Rashi explains, it says by Maiser sheni shom, it says v'achaltam shom, or Rashi brings another pasuk, it says v'achalta lifnei Hashem l'kecha b'mokam ashiyivcha l'shakin shmei shom, again it says shom, and concerning the oren, it says v'nasata shom es ha'oren, you shall put there the oren, a kodesh oren, in which the luchais are. So it says shom by Maiser sheni, and it says shom by the oren, kiven the oren lehava. So we learn from this that since there was no Aron in the Mishkan of Noiv V'Givan, as we learned before, that throughout the period of Noiv V'Givan, the Aron was not there, and the Aron was first in Kiryas Yoram, and then it was brought to Ir David until the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was never in Noiv V'Givan itself. So since there was no Aron there, Maiser Nami Lo Havay, there was no Maiser either. In other words, there was no din to bring Maiser Sheni to that place. Rather, Maiser Sheni could be eaten B'chol Ore Yisrael. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, if so, if that's the source for saying that Maiser Sheni doesn't have to be brought to Noiv V'Givan because of this Shom Shom, then Pesach v'kotshim nami. Then Pesach v'kotshim should not be brought to noiv v'givan either, to shom shom me'oren yalfi, because they also should be learned with the gzereshava of shom shom from oren, because of there it also says v'achaltem shom. So we should learn that there's no Pesach v'kotshim eaten in noiv v'givan. To keep in the oren lehava, in hunami lehava, we should say that since there was no oren there in noiv v'givan, that they also were not there in noiv v'givan. So that we can't say. We can't say that the source for this halacha is because of the gzereshava of shom shom. Amalei, so rather, Rabbi Yochanan told the shlok, that if someone will ask you who is the author of our Mishnah, Reb Shimon he, that our Mishnah that says that Ma'aser Sheni did not have to be brought to Noiv V'Givan, that it could be eaten b'chol Ar Yisrael, is following the opinion of Reb Shimon. The Omar af Tzibor lo hikrivu ela Pesach v'choyvei sakavur lehen zman, that he says that even the Tzibor and the Bomas Tzibor in Noiv V'Givan, at the time when Bomas are mutter, were only makriv the Korban Pesach and other choyves which have a fixed time. Avul choyvei she'en kavur lehen zman, hocha v'hocha lekarev, but choyves which don't have a fixed time could be brought neither on a bomas yochid nor on a bomas tzibur. In other words, only nedarim and nedavos could be brought, or choyves which have a fixed time. But choyves which don't have a fixed time, such as a chatas and osha, and in this case, as the Gemara will say, ma'aser behema, could not be brought neither on a bomas yochid nor on the bomas tzibur. Ma'aser behema, choyves she'en kavur lehen zmanu. Ma'aser behema is one of the choyves which do not have a fixed time. It's not a nether or an nedava. It's an obligation to bring ma'aser behema, but it doesn't have a fixed time. So therefore, the ma'aser behema was not brought at all during the period of noiv v'givan, not even on the Bomas Tzibur, according to Reb Shimon. The Iskish, Meiser Dagon, the Meiser Behema, and there's a Hekish of Meiser Dagon, of the Meiser Sheni, to Meiser Behema, because it says in the Pasuk, Aser to Aser, and as Rashi brings, that this is speaking about two Meisers, one is Meiser Dagon, and one is Meiser Behema. So there's a Hekish between Meiser Dagon, the Meiser of grain, and Meiser Behema, and since there is Meiser Behema is not brought on the Mizbech in Noiv V'Givoin, we learn from this also that the Meiser Sheni does not have to be brought to Noiv V'Givan, that although the Ma'aser Sheni has to be brought to Shiloh and it has to be brought to Yerushalayim, that it does not have a din to be brought to Noiv V'Givan. Tosis points out that in order for the Gemara to say that Ma'aser Behema was not brought in Noiv V'Givan, the Gemara did not necessarily have to say that it is following the opinion of Reb Shimon, because the Chachamim who argue with Reb Yehuda also agree that Ma'aser Behema was not brought in Noiv V'Givan. They only say that all the korbanos of the Tzibur were brought on the Bomas Tzibur, even Choyves She'en Kavur Lehem Zman. But they agree that the Choyves of an individual were not brought neither on the Bomas Yochid nor on the Bomas Tzibur. So therefore the Gemara could have said not only that it's Reb Shimon, but it's also the Chachamim who argues Reb Yehuda. It's only Reb Yehuda, in fact, who holds that all korbanos of a Yochid, even Choyves, were brought on the Bomas Tzibur in Noiv V'Givan. So this is the reason why the Gemara says why Reb Yochanan said Hamani Reb Shimon he is because he wants to continue and say that there's a hekish from Ma'aser Behema to Ma'aser Dagon, and this we find in fact this hekish is made by Reb Shimon himself. So since Reb Shimon holds of the hekish, the Reb Yochanan said that our mission, this part of the mission, is following the opinion of Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, we know number one that Ma'aser Behema is not brought on Noiv V'Givan, and number two, that there is a hekesh of Maitre Behema to Maitre Dogon. So from this we learn that the Maitre Sheni does not have to be brought to Noivi Givon. Says the Gemara, Michal Zul Rabbi Yehuda, Karev. If so, we can understand from this then that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that on the Bama Sibur of Noivi Givon, all of the Korbanos were brought, every Korban Yochan and Korban Sibur was brought, so Maitre Behema was brought on the Mizbeach of Noivi Givon on the Bama Sibur, and if so, we should say also that Maaser Sheni should be brought, as Rashi points out, that's what the Gemara means to ask, that we'll say also that Maaser Sheni had to be brought to Noi V'Givan. Says the Gemara, in, yes, this is so. D'ham Ravada Bar Masna, Ravada Bar Masna said, Maaser Sheni u Maaser Behema ne'echolim b'Noi V'Givan l'divir Rabbi Yehuda, that both Maaser Sheni and Maaser Behema are eaten in Noi V'Givan according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that Maaser Behema is brought, Maaser Sheni is also eaten in Noi V'Givan and not b'chol or Yisrael. The Gemara asks for Haboyi Bira. Don't we need the Bira? The Bira is a castle or a large house. Meaning, don't we need the base Hashem? It says in the Pasuk Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem that you should eat it Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Is Noiv V'Givon called then a Bira? Is there a base Hashem there? There is the Mishkan in Noiv V'Givon, but is that considered to be the base Hashem to that extent that we should say that it's a kiyum of the Pasuk of Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem? Says the Gemara, V'lav Toni Rav Yosef. Didn't Rav Yosef learn Sholosh Bira, saying that there are three Biras? Shiloi, the Noi V'Givon, Ubeis Elamim. Shiloi is called a Bira, that's a Beis Hashem. Noi V'Givon is counted as one, and that's called a Bira, Ubeis Elamim, and the Beis HaMikdash. Hu Toni Lo, Hu Omar Lo. He learned it, and he explained it, L'Achilas Maaser Sheni, that it's coming to tell us that it's considered to be a Bira, that it's a fulfillment of the Pasuk of Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem concerning Maaser Sheni, V'Alivu D'Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is such a thing as having to bring the Maaser Sheni to Noi V'Givon. So that's the Maskana of the Gemara, that our Mishnah is following the opinion that there was no Maaser Behema Noi V'Givon, and therefore there's also no Maaser. The Maaser Sheni didn't have to be brought to Noi V'Givon, and therefore the Maaser Sheni could be eaten b'chol or Yisrael. But according to Rabbi Yehuda and Hanami, since there was Maaser Behema, there would be Maaser Sheni as well. And there would be a din to bring the Maaser Sheni and to eat it lifnei Hashem Elokeichem in Noi V'Givon. Tosfos asks on Rashi and on the Girsa of Rashi in the Mishnah that the Maaser Sheni is eaten b'chol orei Yisrael, that if we're learning a hekesh to Maaser Behema, it's just as we say that there is no Maaser Behema at all, that one can't be makriv the Maaser Behema at all and certainly can't consume the Maaser Behema in the period of Noiv V'Givon, we should also learn that there's no Maaser Sheni at all and that one can't eat the Maaser Sheni at all during the period of Noiv V'Givon. Why do we learn only that the Maaser Sheni is not brought to Noiv V'Givon, but it can be eaten b'chol orei Yisrael? Tosfos answers that the inability to eat the Kodshim Maaser Behema at all cannot be learned to Maaser Sheni, because over there we're learning that we can't be makriv the Maaser Behema. And since we can't be makriv the Maaser Behema, of course, if we're not makriv, if we don't do the Avoida, we can't eat it because it's Kodshim. But the Maaser Sheni is basically something that can be eaten, and all we're learning from Maaser Behema is that there's no special halacha of Havas Mokum, that this is not considered to be a special place where Maaser Sheni has to be brought. And if there is no special place for the Maaser Sheni to be brought, then it can be eaten b'chol orei Yisrael. That's the sheet of Rashi. However, Tosfos brings a different girsa in the Mishnah, that it doesn't say Maaser Sheni in the Mishnah at all, and that Ein Hanami, according to that girsa, during that period of Noi V'Givon, the Maaser Sheni was not eaten at all. And that's what our Gemara is discussing. Why don't we say that the Maaser Sheni should be eaten in Noi V'Givon? And that the Gemara says that we learn from Maaser Behema, according to Reb Shimon. Just as there was no Maaser Behema in that period, then the Maaser Sheni also could not be eaten. And according to this girsa, it could not be eaten at all during the period of Noi V'Givon. Continues the Gemara, Bol Yerushalayim v'chuli. We learned in the Mishnah that when they came to Yerushalayim, meaning when the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, the Bamas became Osir once more, and they never became Mutter again. From the time of the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Bamas are always Osir. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanu. We learned in the Braisa, it says in the Pasuk, Kiloi Basim Arato El Amnucha V'El Hanachla, because at the period of Gilgal you have not yet come to the Menucha nor to the Nachla, to the resting place nor to the inheritance. Says the Braisa, as we've learned before, Menucha Zu Shiloi, the Menucha is referring to Shiloi, that's called the resting place, because that's when they rested after the conquering and dividing of Eretz Yisrael. Nachla Zu Yerushalayim, the Nachla, the inheritance is referring to Yerushalayim. And the Braisa brings a Pasuk to prove that Yerushalayim is referred to as Nachla. V'omer, it says in the Pasuk, Hoisali Nachlosi Ka'arya V'yar, that my inheritance has been to me like a lion in the forest. Now Gemara learns that that is referring to Yerushalayim. V'omer, it says another Pasuk in that same parak in Yirmiyah, Ha'ayit Savua Nachlosi Li, is my Nachla, is my inheritance to me like a colored ayat. Ayat is a kind of bird of prey. Ha'ayat saviv aleha, an ayat which has the other birds surrounding it to devour it. So we see that Yerushalayim is referred to in the Tupsukim as Nachla. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's pshat in the Pasuk of El Hamnucha V'El Hanachla. Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite. Menucha zu Yerushalayim. That Menucha is referring to Yerushalayim, and Nachla zu Shiloh. Nachla is referring to Shiloh. Shiloh is called Nachla, the Gemara says on Amud Beis, because they went to Shiloh to divide the Nachla, the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. Where do we find that Yerushalayim is referred to as Menucha? Va'omer, it says in the Pasuk, Zos Menuchasi Adead Pa'eshe Ki Visio. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell because I have desired it. Va'omer, and it says in the previous Pasuk, Kivachar Hashem Tzion, that Hashem has chosen Tzion, Yerushalayim, and desired it as a dwelling place for himself. So we see that the pasuk is speaking about Tzion, and then it says, Zois Menuchasi Adiyat. So we see that Tzion, Yerushalayim, is called Menucha. So Rav Shimon says that that's in the pshat in this pasuk as well. El HaMenucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachla is Shiloh. The Gemara asks, Bishloim, Elamanda Amar, Menucha Zu Shiloh. Bishloim, according to the Mandi Amar, to the first Mandi Amar of Yehuda, that says that Menucha is Shiloh. That's why it says El HaMenucha Ve'El HaNachla. You have not yet come to Shiloh, nor have you yet come to Yerushalayim. Shiloh is, of course, before Yerushalayim. El Lamanda Omar Menucha Zu Yerushalayim Nachla Zu Shiloh. But according to Reb Shimon, who says that Menucha is referring to Yerushalayim and Nachla is Shiloh, El HaNachla Ve'El HaMenucha Niboyle. It should have said in the pasuk that you have not yet come to the Nachla, nor to the Menucha, because Shiloh is before Yerushalayim. The Gemara answers, Hachika Omar, that according to Reb Shimon, this is how we learn the Pasuk. Not only have you not yet come to Yerushalayim, you have not yet reached either the Nachla of Shiloh. So that's how we learn Pshat in the Pasuk according to Reb Shimon. You have not yet come to Yerushalayim, nor have you even come to Shiloh. And that's why you're allowed to be Makriv on Bamos. Al-Koponim, both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Shimon, one of the words in the pasuk is referring to Shiloh and the other is referring to Yerushalayim. The Torah divided it into two because there is a heter between Shiloh and Yerushalayim, as we learned in our mission. Brings the Gemara Tana Tevei Rabbi Yishmael. We learned in a brisa from the Talmidim, from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, Zu v'zu Shiloh, that both words in the pasuk, Menucha and Nachla, are both referring to Shiloh. It's merely two words for the same place. You have not yet reached Shiloh, except the Torah expresses it in two ways. Elam Nucha, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Zu v'zu Yerushalayim. Both words in the pasuk are referring to Yerushalayim. You have not yet come to Yerushalayim, and therefore you can be makriv on Bamos. The Rishash points out, he brings from a Turei Evin in Megillah, that based on this Gemara, the Gemara reports that the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is that both words are referring to Yerushalayim, that we cannot be goyis before the Bar Pluktu with Rabbi Yehuda as Rabbi Shimon, that it's Rabbi Shimon who says that Menucha is Yerushalayim and Nachla is Shiloh, because Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that would be a contradiction. So he says that the girsa of Rabbi Shimon before must be incorrect, because otherwise he would be contradicting himself. Al Koponim, here we find that the Tanid Rabbi Shmuel says that they're both referring to Shiloh, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that they're both referring to Yerushalayim. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who says that they're both referring to Yerushalayim, then the Torah is saying that you can be makriv on the bamos because you have not yet reached Yerushalayim. That means that bamos are permitted until you build the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and even in the period of Shiloh. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the bamos did not become usher when Shiloh was built. Bamos were permitted from the time they entered Eretz Yisrael until the time that the Beit HaMikdash was built. However, Rashi says that according to Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, who learned Zu V'Zu Shiloh, and L'Chayra, we should say that if the Pasuk is only mentioning Shiloh, then we don't have any reason to be Mater Bamos between the destruction of Shiloh and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That was based on the fact that the Pasuk mentioned both Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Nonetheless, says Rashi, that Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel will agree, in fact, that after the destruction of Shiloh, that Bamos are permitted. Not because we learn it from this Pasuk, but rather because the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is that even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that Bamos become Mutter. Rabbi Shmuel holds that Kitcher L'Shaita V'Lo Kosh Kitcher L'Asid Lavai, that the Kiddush made on the Beis HaMikdash doesn't remain after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and Bamos become Mutter after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not like the Tan of our Mishnah. So certainly we'll say the same thing concerning the Beis Hashem B'Shiloh, that after it was destroyed, also the Bamos became Mutter until the Beis HaMikdash was built. So although Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel won't be able to learn it from this Pasuk, they will hold for a different reason, that the Bamos became Mutter after the destruction of Shiloh and were Mutter until the Beis HaMikdash was built, and that is because they hold that when the Bias is built, it's only also at the time that the Bias is standing, but once it's destroyed, the Isra no longer applies, because they hold that even in Yerushalayim, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that Bamos become Mutter. Tosfos says that Rashi, who quotes the Gemara Megillah, that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, is loyduk, that this is not exact, because it's not the same Rabbi Yishmael. That Gemara is referring to Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yossi, and our Gemara is referring to the Stam Rabbi Yishmael, who was the chaver of Rabbi Akiva, who's much earlier. It's not the same Rabbi Yishmael at all. But Tosfos nonetheless agrees with Rashi that we have to say that even according to the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, there was a heter to be makriv on Bamos in the period after the destruction of Shiloh, because Tosfos brings several psukim where we see that they were makriv on Bamos in that period. Tosfos brings a psukim concerning Avshalom, where he says that he went to be makriv his korbanos to fulfill his neder and to be makriv his korbanos in Chevron. Tosfos brings other psukim where we find that Shmuel was makriv and was eating kodshim from Abama, and by Shaul it says also that he was makriv on Abama, and this was in that period of Noiv V'Givayin. So everyone agrees that in the period of Noiv V'Givayin, after the destruction of Shiloh, until the Beis HaMikdash was built, that there was a heter of Bamos. So even if we don't find, as Tosfos says, that that's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, that once the bias is decided that he's destroyed, that there's a heter for Bamos, nonetheless we're forced to say that even the Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, who does not learn that one word in the pasuk is referring to Shiloh and one word is referring to Yerushalayim, would agree that after the destruction of Shiloh in the period of Noiv V'Givayin, that Bamos were mutter. Continues the Gemara, Bishloim l'man d'omar menucha zu Shiloh nachla zu Yerushalayim. Bishloim, according to the man d'omar, who says that menucha is Shiloh nachla zu Yerushalayim. Inami ipcha, or also if we say the opposite, if we say that menucha is Yerushalayim and nachla is Shiloh, haynu d'chtiv el hamnucha v'el hanachla, then we understand why the pasuk says el hamnucha, to the menucha and to the nachla, because it's referring to two different places. Ela l'man d'omar zu v'zu Shiloh oi zu v'zu Yerushalayim, but according to those two other man d'omar, the one who says that they're both referring to Shiloh, or the Mande Omer who says that they're both referring to Yerushalayim, Menucha v'Nachla miboyle. It should have just said Kilo Basim ad Ata el Hamnucha v'Nachla, to the Menucha v'Nachla, which refers either to Shiloh or Yerushalayim. Why does it say el Hamnucha v'el Hanachla, which would seem that it's speaking about two different places? Says the Gemara Kasha. This is a Kasha. This is a difficulty with those two opinions. Continues the Gemara, Bishloim l'manda Omar zu v'zu Shiloh. Bishloim, according to Manda Omar, who says that both Menucha and Nachla are referring to Shiloh, we understand why Shiloh is referred to both as Menucha and Nachla. Menucha, the Nachum Mikivush, it's called Menucha because that's when they rested from the conquering, dividing of Eretz Israel. Nachla, and it's called Nachla, the Palgu Hasam Nachlis, because they divided the Nachlis, they divided the inheritances of Eretz Israel there in Shiloh. Dechtiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayachalik lehem Yeshua, that Yeshua divided the land and he cast lots for them in Shiloh by the word of Hashem. So it says that this was done in Shiloh. That's why it's called Nachla, because it's a place where the inheritance was divided. Elo lemanda Omer zu v'zu Yerushalayim, but according to Manda Omer, who says that both Menucha and Nachla are referring to Yerushalayim, Bishloim and Nachla, Nachla Seilomim. We understand why it's called Nachla inheritance, because it's the eternal inheritance. Ela Menucha, my Menucha, but Menucha, why is it called Menucha? Or rather, as the Shita Mekubetzes is going to say, Ela Menucha Amai, why is it called Menucha? The Gemara answers, Menucha's Arn, because it's the resting place of the Arn HaKadosh. Tachsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi Kanoyach Arn, that it was as the Arn rested. Rashi says that there is no Pasuk with these exact words. Rather, Rashi says that there's a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, which reads, Kumo Hashem Elikim Lenuchecha, to your resting place, Atov Arn Uzecha, you and the Arn of your strength. So it's called the resting place of the Arin. So that's why Yerushalayim is referred to as Menucha in addition to being referred to as Nachla. Continues the Gemara, Bishloim l'manda Omer zu v'zu Yerushalayim, Bishloim according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that both Menucha and Nachla in the Pasuk are referring to Yerushalayim, Aval Shiloh Havasharya Bamos. But in the period when Shiloh was built, Bamos were permitted. As we said before, Rashi explained in the Gemara that according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, that the both words are referring to Yerushalayim, that Enochanami, Bamos were permitted in the period of Shiloh. Hayinu d'chtiv, that is what it says in the Pasuk, Vayikach Menoyach es gedi ha'izim, that Menoyach took the kid of the goats, ve'ez ha'mincha and the mincha, ve'yal al hatzur l'Hashem, and he brought them up as a korban on the stone, on the rock, to Hashem, because one was allowed to be makiv on a bama at that time, even though it was the period of Shiloh. El Manda Omer zu v'zu Shiloh, but according to Manda Omer, who says that both words in the Pasuk are referring to Shiloh, Ubama is Hava Asiran, and Bamos were forbidden at the time of Shiloh, Mai v'yikach Manoyach. How could the Torah say, how could the Pasuk say that Manoyach took this and was makriv a korban outside on a Bama? This question, in fact, could have been asked also on the other Manda Omer, Manda Omer of our Mishnah, who also agrees that Bamos were forbidden at the time of Shiloh. Al Kaponim, it only works out according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that Bamos were permitted at the time of Shiloh. The Gemara answers, Hayroach Shah Hoysah. This was Hayroach Shah. This was a special exception because he was told by the Malach to be makriv an oil, to be makriv a korban there. But not the, because Bom is actually a mutter at that time. Tana, Devei, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. There is a brisa of the Talmidim of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Omer that he said, Zuvuzu Yerushalayim, that both Menucha and Nachla are referring to Yerushalayim. So although we learned before, Tana, Devei, Rabbi Yishmael, that Zuvuzu Shiloh, that they're both referring to Shiloh, there was a different brisa from the Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael, where it said that to the contrary, that Rabbi Yishmael was of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that Zuvuzu Yerushalayim. The Simonecha and your Simon to remember that they found this brisa of the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, that in fact they said the same opinion as Rabbi Shimon, Mashchi Gavra LeGavri, that the single person drew towards himself the many people. In other words, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was able to draw to himself these Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, that there was found a Braisa of Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, which was in agreement with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that Zu Vizu Yerushalayim. From Rashi, both on Omer Aleph and here, it would appear that perhaps the Girsa and of Kufyates Omer Aleph was not Tona Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, but actually Rabbi Yishmael Omer, that the opinion of Zuvazu Shiloi was in the name of Rabbi Yishmael himself. And here, this price is telling us that in the Tona Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael, that their opinion was that Zuvazu Yerushalayim, as the Gemara says, Mashchi Gavra LeGavri, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai brought these Gavri, these Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael, to follow his opinion and not to follow the opinion of their Rebbe, Rabbi Yishmael. Continues the Gemara, Kol HaKodshim V'chuli. In our Mishnah, we learned that there are three levels of Isser of Shchutei Chutz. The first level is something where the Hekdish was in the time when Shchutei Chutz, when Bomas are Osir, and also it was brought as a carbon in the time when Bomas are Osir. Concerning that, says the Mishnah, that the person who does so, who was both Makdish it and Makrivit in the time of Isser Bomas, transgresses an Aseh and a Lois Aseh, and is Mechuyiv Koreth. That's a Chiyuv Koreth for Shchutei Chutz. The second level, the lesser level of Isser, is something that the Hekdish was done at the time of Heter HaBomis, that when the person was Makdish at Bomis were permitted. For example, it was in the period of Gilgal or Noiv V'Givain. However, he did the Hakrava in the time of Isser HaBomis. In the meantime, Mishkan Shiloh was built, and then Bomis became Osir, and he was Makrivit at the time of Isser HaBomis. Such a person transgresses an Aseh and a Lois Aseh, but there is no Chiyuv Karis. And the third level, the lowest level of Isser, which our Mishnah mentions, is that if he was Makdish at the time of Isser HaBomis, for example, at the time of Shiloh, and then Shiloh was destroyed and he was Makrivit at a time of Heter HaBomis, then he is only transgressing a mitzvah saseh, because he should have been Makrivit at the time in the Beis Hashem when the Bomis were Osir. Our Gemara is dealing with this middle level, which we have said that if a person is Makdishet at the time of Heter HaBomis, and then he's Makrivit at the time of Isser HaBomis, that we say that he transgresses an Aseh and a Lois Aseh, but there is no Koreth. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Loishanu Ela B'Shchita, that we've only learned this concerning Shchita. In the Parsha of Shchutei Chutz, there is the Isser of Shchita is treated separately from the Isser of Halah. The first Parsha is speaking about Shchita, of shechting a korban outside, and then the Pasuk Valeim Toimar goes on to tell us the Halacha of Halah B'Chutz, that a person is Maktir, the flesh of the korban, or the Amorim of the korban, outside, that he too is Mechuyev Karas. So Rav Kahana said that what we learned in our Mishnah, that if someone was Makdish a Korban at the time of Heter HaBomis, and then was Makrivit B'chutz, that he's not Mechuyiv Koreth, he's only transgresses an Aseh and a Lois Aseh, but not Koreth, that's only concerning the Shechita. Avol B'Halah, but if he's Makdirit B'chutz, Koreth Nami Mechayiv, will be Mechuyiv Koreth as well, in spite of the fact that the Hekdish was done at a time of Heter HaBomis. My timer, what's the reason? The Omakro, because the Pasuk says in introducing this Isser of Halah B'chutz, of being Makdir, something B'chutz, Va'aleim Toimer. It says, and to them you shall say, and he darshans Va'aleim Toimer as if it would say Va'aleim with an ayin, Al Hasmuchin Toimer, you should say concerning the Smuchin, concerning those which have just been learnt about, those which immediately precede this Pasuk. And that which immediately precedes this pasuk is in fact a pasuk dealing, which we darshan is dealing with kochim, which the hekdish was done b'shas heter habomis, and telling us that there's a lav to be makriv them at a time of iser habomis. That's the pasuk of v'lo yizbuchu oid es zivcheim. From that pasuk we darshan the previous parak that even something that was made hekdish at a time of heter habomis, here the pasuk is telling us that there's a lav that they are no longer allowed to be makriv, because once bomis become osir, you're not allowed to be makriv that korban outside. So that that's the pasuk that tells us that in spite of the fact that there's no chorus for shechting, for shchutei chutz, for shechting a korban outside, if the hekdesh was done at the time of hetzer abomet, but nonetheless there is a lav. So that's what immediately precedes this pasuk, and then it says valeim timer, and he darshens ala smuchin timer, that concerning those smuchin, the thing which was those which were just mentioned, you shall say that if anyone is maler than, if someone is makter than, b'chutz, that there is a chiyuv chorus. So the Torah is saying, says Rav Kahana, that even on those items about which, when it comes to the shechita, there's only a lav, those are those which were mentioned before, the Torah is still saying that if you're maler than b'chutz, that there is a chiyuv chorus. Maski for Rabba asked on this miksi valeim toimer, does it say valeim toimer with an ayin, which would mean on them, and then we can say that it's referring to those items, those kinds of kashim which were mentioned before. Valeim ksiv, it says valeim with an aleph, which means to them, valeim toimer, you shall say to the Bnei Yisrael. So he disagrees with this drush, it doesn't tell us anything about which kind of kashim it's speaking, and to the contrary, we'll learn that it's speaking about kashim that were made hektish at the time of Isser Habomis, and only on such kodshim is there a chiyuv koris even for halah, and there is no difference between shechita and halah. But in addition to this, we can bring a b'raisa which says explicitly not like this halacha Rav Kahana. But oid Tanya, and also we learned in a b'raisa, arba klolois hoya Rabbi Shimon oimer bekodshim. Rabbi Shimon gave four rules concerning kodshim, concerning the Isser of shechutei chutz and halah b'chutz of kodshim. Hikdishon b'shas Isser Habomis. If he was maklish them at the time when bomas were aser, and he shechted them, or he was mala them, or of course if he did both, b'shas iser habomis at the time when bomas are aser, and he did this b'chutz, outside, harehein be'aseh, v'lois haseh, v'yesh behen koris. Then this transgression is a transgression on a mitzvah saseh, on a lois haseh, and there is also a chiyuv of koris. Hikdishon b'shas heter habomis, if he was makdish these kodshim at the time of heter habomis, b'shochat v'hel b'shas iser habomis, and he shechted, or he was mala at the time of iser habomis, harehin ba'aseh v'lo yisaseh, v'ein behen kor, then he is transgressing an aseh and v'lo yisaseh, and there is no chiyuv kor. This is the same as we have learned in our Mishnah. However, in this Brisa, it says explicitly that it's referring also to halah, not only to shechita, but also to being makter b'chutz. Hikdishon, the Brisa continues, Hikdishon b'shas iser habomis, if he was makdish them at the time when bomas are forbidden, the shochet behela b'chutz b'shas heter bomas, and then he shechted or was malo b'chutz at the time when bomas are permitted, harehin ba'aseh be'ein behen b'lo yisaseh, then he's only transgressing a mitzvah saseh, but there is no lo yisaseh, and all the more so is there no koret. And the fourth level is hikdishon b'shas heter bomas, he was makdish it at the time when bomas were permitted, the shochet behela b'shas heter bomas, and he shechted and was malo at the time when bomas are permitted, potter miklum, then he's potter from everything, because both the hekdish and the shechita and halo were done at a time when bomas are mutter. Tosis asks on this, that how can we apply the words potter, mikvum potter, from everything on something which, to the contrary, he's doing the mitzvah, he's doing it as meant to be done. If the hekdesh was done at a time when bomas were permitted, then of course he shechts it outside at the time also when bomas are permitted, that's what he's supposed to do. Why does Rav Shimon count this as one of the levels of Isser and say potter mikvum? Says Tosis that he's coming to tell us that even if when he was makdashit, he was makdish it with the intention of bringing it to the Bama G'dayla, to the big Bama, to the Bama Tzibur. Even if he brought it to the courtyard of the Bama G'dayla, for example, in Gilgal Anoiv V'Givayin, and then he took it out and he shechted it and was mala outside, that nonetheless he is not transgressing even a mitzvah aseh. He's potter miklum, he has not transgressed even a mitzvah aseh, but this is also a level of Isser. That's what Rav Shimon means. Akopanim says the Gemara, Chufta the Rav Kahana, Chufta, this is a complete refutation of Rav Kahana, who wanted to make a distinction between Shechita and Halah, who said that for Halah one is Mechuyiv Koris, even if the Hekdesh was done at the time of Heter Abomas. He would learn explicitly that there is no difference between Shechita and Halah, both for Shechita and Halah, if the Hekdesh was done at the time of Heter Abomas, even though the Shechita or the Halah were done with Shas Isser Abomas, he transgresses an Aseh and Alois Haseh, but there is no Chiyuv Koris. Continues the Gemara ve'elu kodshim v'chuli. This is going on the continuation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Uma ben bomas yochi le bomas tzibur. What differences are there between a bomas yochi, the individual boma, that at the time of heter abomas, each individual can put up his own boma, v'makriv korbanis, nedarim, and nedavis, on that boma, to the bomas tzibur, to the central boma which serves the tzibur. In other words, what special halachas are there concerning the bomas yochi? The Mishnah gives a list of many halachas which we learn concerning the bomas tzibur and concerning the avodah which is done in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash, which don't apply to the Bomas Yochid. The Mishnah lists smicha, there's no smicha by Bomas Yochid, shchitas tzofin, the shchita does not have to be done on the north side, umatan soviv, the matnas dam does not have to be done in a way that it's on shtayim shehin arba, that it's on all the sides of the Mizbeach, utnufa, there's no tnufa, there's no waving in the bamas yachid, v'hagosha, there's no touching of the mincha to the mizbeach on the bamas yachid. The Mishnah then reports the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that there is no mincha in a bama at all, and then the Mishnah continues with the list, v'kihun, that the avoda on a bama siyachid does not have to be done by a kohen. U'big de shoras, there's no big de kahuna. U'kli shoras, there's no kli shoras by a bama siyachid. Reach nichoyach, it does not have to be done for reach nichoyach. As Rashi explained in the Mishnah, this means that it can even be done, it can be roasted first and then put on the mizbeach, even though it does not produce a reach. U'mechit l'domim, there's no difference between the domim which have to be placed above the halfway mark of the mizbeach or below that halfway mark. V'richutz yadayim v'raglayim, and there's also no washing of yadayim v'raglayim in the kiyar concerning the bamas yachid. And now the Gemara brings a source for each of these halachas. Says the Gemara, smicha. How do we know that there is no halach of smicha concerning the bamas yachid? D'chtivas. It says in the pasuk, litnei Hashem v'somach. It says litzoynoi litnei Hashem. That's the end of one pasuk, and then it says v'somach. Then it says that smicha should be done. We darsha litnei Hashem v'somach. That the din of smicha applies only litnei Hashem. A bamas yachid is not called litnei Hashem. Litnei Hashem means in the Mishkan. Shchita tzofen. How do we know there's no halach of shchita tzofen? D'chtiv tzofena litnei Hashem, because it says that it has to be shechted, that kodesh kedoshim have to be shechted tzofena in the north side, but it says litnei Hashem, that only applies to the Mishkan, but not to a bamas yochid. Matnoi saviv. How do we know that we don't require matnoi saviv, that we have to put the dam on the mizbech even on a bama, but it doesn't have to be done in a way of shtayim shein arba, that it has to be done on the two opposite corners so that it goes around the mizbeach? D'chtiv, as it says in the pasuk, v'zorak al hamizbeach saviv. The Shita says that it's Vizorak is Hadam al Mizbeach Saviv al Kofonim. It says that you will throw the Dam on the Mizbeach Saviv, around the Mizbeach. From this we learn that the Zrikas Hadam have to be done so that they should encircle the Mizbeach, so to speak. And Rashi says that at that Pasuk it says, Asher Pesach Oyel Moed, that's the end of that Pasuk. So it says that it's Al Pesher Pesach Oyel Moed, that we're speaking about the Mizbeach which is at the entrance to the Oyel Moed, the Mizbeach which is found in the Mishkan, but not in the Mizbeach which is a Bum. Tznufa. How do we know that there's no tznufa, there's no waving, for example, of the chaz of a shoik or of a mincha? How do we know that that doesn't apply in the boma? Dichsiv, v'heinif ha-koyen lifnei Hashem, that the koyen shall wave it before Hashem. Again, it says lifnei Hashem, that means in the Mishkan, but not in a boma. Hagosha, how do we know that there's no din of hagosha for a mincha to touch it to the mizbeach? Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'higishoel ha-mizbeach, that you should touch it to the mizbeach. Now here also, Rashi learns that the raya is not from the word ha-mizbeach, because theoretically that could be speaking about a boma as well. Rather, Rashi changes the girsa and says it's because it says in the pasuk, hakrev oisa lifnei Hashem, bring it close litnei Hashem, and this pasuk of Hakrev Oisa, we darshan in the Gemara, is speaking about Hagosha, and it says litnei Hashem, that this is only done litnei Hashem, meaning in the Mishkan. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer ein mincha b'bama. Rabbi Yehuda says that there is no mincha in a bama. Tosis points out that although Rabbi Yehuda is interrupting the list in the Mishnah of those halachas which don't apply in a bama ketana by saying that ein mincha b'bama, because we mentioned hagosha, which is a halacha and avoda that has to be done to a mincha, Rabbi Yehuda says there's no mincha at all in a bama. But this is not similar to the other items listed, says Tosis. The other halachas are all talking only about the bama ketana. All those other halachas, hagosha, tnufa, all the other smicha, all of the items mentioned in the Mishnah, we exclude them from the bama ketana. Rav Yehuda says ein mincha b'bama means that there is no mincha in any bama, not only in the bama ketana, but in the bama gedolah as well. That at the time of Heter HaBamos, when the Mishkan was in Gilgal or Noi V'Givayin, there was no minochas that were brought at all, neither on the bama ketana nor on the bama sibra. That's the shita of Rav Yehuda. And then the Mishnah goes on and continues its list of describing those halachas which do not apply in the bama ketana. But this, what Rabbi Yehuda mentions, that ein mincha b'bama, is not only referring to the bama ketana, but is referring to bama gedolah as well. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said, L'divrei ha'imer yesh mincha b'bama, according to the Tanakama who holds that menachas were brought on a bama, yesh oifes b'bama. Then oifes could also be brought, korbanas oif could also be brought on a bama. However, L'divrei ha'imer ein mincha b'bama, but according to Rabbi Yehuda who says that there is no mincha on a bama, ein oifes b'bama, then there are no oifes on a bama either. It's not only menachas which are excluded, but oifes are also excluded. It's only korbanas of a behemoth which were brought on a bama. How do we know this? Because it says in the pasuk Zvachim, this is referring to the pasuk Lamana Sheyuviu Bnei Yisrael Es Zivchayim Asher Hem Zoyvchim Opnei Hasada Veviim Lashem, and then it says Vezovchu Zivchay Shlomim Lashem Oysam. And the Gemara Darsh in the previous parak said that the pasuk means to say that the Bnei Yisrael should bring even their Zvachim, which they were allowed to be Zaveach Opnei Hasada, in other words, which they were Makdish at the time of Heter HaBamos. Now that the Mishkan Shila, for example, was built, or the Beit HaMikdash was built, they should bring them to Lashem, and they should be Zaveach Lashem Zivchay Shlomim Lashem. Hashem, and there's a mute there, oisam. So we learn from over there that it mentions as being permitted to be makriv on the bomas at the time of Hetzer HaBomas, zivcheim, there's zvochim, and it says oisam, which is a mute. So from this, the Rebuta holds that we are medayek, only zvochim, only those kinds of korbonos which are shechted. So as we say from the word zvochim, v'loy menachis, we're menachis, because it says only zvochim, those korbonos which are shechted, and by the same token, zvochim v'loy oifis, and we'll exclude also zvochim v'loy oifis, because oifis of kachim, the korbonos of oif, are not shechted, they're killed through malika. So if it says zvochim, and if Rebuta holds that we're medayek, only zvochim and not menachis, will also be medayek, zvochim and not oifis. Continues the Gemara, the Kohen. The Mishnah then goes on with its list and says that there is no din of kahuna by a bomiktana. Anyone can be makriv on a bomiktana, not only a Kohen. The Chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, v'zorak a Kohen. It says that the Kohen should be zoyrek the dam, and Rashi brings the more complete of the Pasuk. It says, al mizbach Hashem pesach oil moyer. It says that the Kohen should be zoyrek the dam on the mizbach of Hashem, which is pesach oil moyer. So we darshan only on the mizbach, which is pesach oil moyer, which is at the entrance of the oil moyer. Only in the Mishkan does a Kohen have to do the avoda. But if it's not pesach oil moyer, then even a non-Kohen can do the avoda. Big day shoris. How do we know that there's no big day kahuna in a bar maktana? L'shoris b'kodesh, because it says that the big day kahuna are l'shoris to serve b'kodesh. Kodesh means in the Mishkan. Uklei shoris. How do we know that there are no clay shoris? That the vessels are not sanctified. Those vessels which are used on a bar maktana, asher yishoris u'bom b'kodesh, because it says also which they will serve with them b'kodesh, which means in the Mishkan. L'reach nichoyach. How do we know that we don't need l'reach nichoyach? As Rashi explains in the Mishnah, that l'reach nichoyach, l'reach means that they have, that the portions which are placed on the mizbeach have to be placed on the mizbeach raw, so that it gives off a reach, and not to be roasted before and then burnt on the mizbeach. How do we know that that doesn't apply to a bama? D'chsiv l'reach nichoyach l'Hashem, because it says that it's l'reach nichoyach l'Hashem. The Rashash says that this drasha is not from the word l'Hashem, because certainly when a person is bakir on a bama, it's also l'Hashem. Rather, what the Gemara means is, as it appears from Rashi, because this is referring to the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Zayin pasuk Vav, the same pasuk that Rashi mentioned before for Zrika, where it says V'zorak HaKoyen Es Adom Al Mizbach Hashem Asher Pesach Oyel Moyed V'hikter HaChelev L'Reach Nichoyach L'Hashem. So it's in that pasuk where it says the Mizbach Hashem Asher Pesach Oyel Moyed, that we're speaking about the Mizbach which is in the Mishkan, that it has to be L'Reach Nichoyach L'Hashem. So there we learn that this halach of Reach Nichoyach applies only in the Mishkan, but not on a Boma Ketana. Mechitza b'damim. How do we know that the halacha of mechitza for damim, that certain korbanos, the dam has to be sprinkled on the upper part of the mizbeach, on the upper half of the mizbeach, and that other korbanos, that the dam has to be sprinkled on the lower half of the mizbeach? How do we know that that halacha does not apply to a bama? Because it says concerning the mizbeach of the Mishkan, that the reshes, the net around it, will be until the halfway point of the mizbeach. And from there we learn that there's a significance to the halfway point of the mizbeach, that certain chatois, the chatis, has to be above the halfway mark, and that other korbanos have to be below the halfway mark, and we know that that mizbeach is speaking specifically about the mizbeach in the Mishkan. It says ha-mizbeach le-mizbeach, and that's within the context of the mizbeach of the Mishkan. That's what's being described in that parsha. So we learn that it's only on that mizbeach in the Mishkan, or the corresponding mizbeach of a bomas tzibur, that there is a halacha of chatzi ha-mizbeach. But in a bomas yachid, there is no significance to the chatzi, and the dam can be sprinkled anywhere on the mizbeach. Richut yadayim v'raglayim, the washing of the hands and feet before doing avoda. Tichsiv uvekorvasam el mizbeach yachotzu. It says that when they come close to the mizbeach, they will wash. And at the beginning of that pasuk, it says that when they come to the oyel moyed, when they come close to the mizbeach, so we know that it's speaking about doing avoda in the oyel moyed. But in a bomiktana, there is no halacha of richut yadayim v'raglayim.